Hey, it's July 1st, 2017. Welcome to Coin News. So, unfortunately, it's not a very interesting news day today. Let me go ahead and get started on CoinDesk. A lot of news about ICOs, dumb money, and whales, and how they can fix the funding of new coin companies. Delaware, we passed the historic, quote-unquote historic, blockchain regulation. And that's about it for CoinDesk here on a Saturday. Got some other stuff to talk about besides news, so we'll get to that after. Going over to Cointelegraph. The most interesting thing here is an article about the Bitcoin price that may surge. Apparently there's some Italian bank warning signals that's happening in Europe, and there were some bailouts that happened on June 25th. So there's kind of an expectation maybe that Bitcoin may surge. Usually when there's some FUD with the banks, Bitcoins and coins in general see an uptick because they're seen as safer, at least in this, kind of like gold. If you haven't heard, Blockfolio.com, their app as well, they had a leaky API that was leaking information and stuff, which is no good. So they fixed it and they released a statement. If you use Blockfolio, go check that out. As for the rest of the news, nothing really more. There's more stuff about SegWit, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, because I got it completely wrong yesterday. Not completely. But anyway, heading over to the Merkle, we see that they've posted here an article about scientists developing a tiny treadmill to monitor ants' behavior and movement patterns. Not sure how this fits in with coin news, but that is the state of the news today, because that's the top of the Merkle. So, I'm going to end the news day right there and go into some SegWit analysis. Okay, so here is SegWit simplified. Essentially, what SegWit is going to do, it's short for segregated witness, it's going to increase the blockchain size, or increase the block size from 1 megabyte to 4 megabytes. Now, right now, we're at 1 megabyte, and that's hard-coded in. And that means that once there's a volume of transactions that hits 1 megabyte, that has to become a block. At least that's my simplified understanding of it. And because there are so many transactions happening on the Bitcoin network, people have to wait in line because they can't get into a block because the block gets filled. And so you're left waiting, your transaction just sitting there. So if you increase, theoretically, the block size, you're going to increase the number of transactions that can be processed by the system per minute, and therefore making it more useful. Now, there's a couple things that people have against SegWit. One is they say it won't actually do what it's going to do. And mostly I looked into that, and it's mostly people saying that it's not a permanent fix far into the future. This is more like quantitative easing. There is a short-term solution that's going to have an effect for the next year or two. Experts are theorizing that it'll increase the block size to about 2 to 2.1 megabytes for the time being, the second that SegWit is activated. And so they're already saying that it's going to double the size of the blocks just immediately. And I think that shows that there's a need for it. And at some point, maybe there is a need for it to become more than 4 megabytes, but I think right now an incremental change is going to be really good for Bitcoin. Litecoin already implemented SegWit a while ago and already has 2.5 minute block times, and Litecoin sometimes has some delays. So I think there's going to have to be improvement over all the networks in general. And the growing pains over this one little change, I think we're going to see a lot more of this in the future. And this is just a short food for thought section. Considering what's going to happen with net neutrality and blockchain. If we can't send information over the network, then how is a distributed, decentralized network supposed to work? And this is just a short food for thought section. Considering what's going to happen with net neutrality and blockchain. If we can't send information over the network, then how is a distributed, decentralized network supposed to work? Okay, so this next little bit's going to be about how to do some basic coin research. There's a really great post on Reddit yesterday. A gentleman named, well, not going to say that, posted an article about the basics, just the bare minimum that you need to do if you're looking up coins. And the first one is go to coinmarketcap.com and just look and see how many coins there are. Get used to looking at that wall of numbers and understanding it. Until you understand, when you can just look at that and you go, okay, I know what XLR is, I know what XLM is, I know what XRP is, I know what NXT is, I know what ARDR is, then you're probably not there yet. So what you go do, you go find some good coins that might have a terrible name. Unless I'm just reading this here, but you're trying to do some mass separation here and you don't have time to check them all, blah blah blah. Okay, so you find one or two and you're opening up tabs, you're seeing all of them, you're looking at the graphs. Now probably all of this is alien to you. You have no idea what to look for. And that's okay. You shouldn't know technical analysis at all right now. Anyway, so you're gonna choose one and you're gonna go to the main website and you're gonna check out, like, just do an evaluation. This is your own intuition. How's their community? Like, what does their development team look like? Are their forums active? Do they have a Slack that has a lot of people? Is there a Reddit? Do they have, like, news they're posting? Is the website dated for this year, or is it dated as a copyright last year and it seems abandoned? All little things there. So the good news is that CoinMarketCap has links to all this stuff, so you can just click straight from CoinMarketCap to go to their website, to go to the social stuff. Here, step four, check and see if they have a roadmap. That's exactly like the white paper. Just see if they have a plan. Like, are they actually doing something? Is this just shitcoin central that we're going to dump this all once it pumps? Or is this something like Siacoin, which we're developing infrastructure and platform for the future? And so we might sink now, but there's actually a group of people behind this that's pushing it forward. It's not fake. Is there a community around the coin? Are there people that are using it? Are there people that want to use it? Are there people that are actively concerned about what's happening with it, et cetera, et cetera? And then the last one here, he says, is, or she, I guess, you do some research on the history of the coin. I'm just going to read this straight. Where did the coin come from? What did it hope to accomplish? Are they different from any other coin? Now that last one's really important, because so something I need to do that I haven't done yet is put together a coins by sector, because there's coins that are trying to do stuff to streamline financial decentralized exchanges, there's coins for scientific research, there's coins that are just meant for currency, for trading, like Litecoin. And then there's coins like Ethereum and AntShares, which is meant for a distributed sort of global computer type application. So there are some basic stuff that you need to go do for coins, just to understand what they are and what you're investing in. Because remember, you're investing in a group of people. You're investing in a company and you're investing in an idea. Yeah, this is called coins, but this is an unregulated stock market. These are IPOs under the name ICO. And you have to be careful. This is like 1992 to 1995, the beginning of the internet and Amazon and Apple. Yes, we get that, but this is also super, super unregulated right now, and the banks all just stepped in. Like, literally in the last 3 to 6 months, super amounts of activity. So you gotta be really careful. There's pump and dump groups everywhere right now. Shit, there's people advertising to join their pump and dump Slacks on CoinMarketCap. So, and I also just saw a company advertising for 50 Bitcoins to get your ICO out to as many people as possible. So I think we're definitely starting into the bubble-ish territory. I think this is going to be something similar to the internet bubble, where, you know, famously Bill Gates said, yeah, they're hella overinvested, but the more money that comes in, and we're in a bubble, but the more money that keeps rushing in, the faster the development happens, the more excitement, the more outreach. The only thing we need to watch out for is that the only thing we have to watch out for is something like with what Status happened, which Status crashed the Ethereum network and its price, and it really everything have been in free fall recently since the Status ICO crashed the network on June 20th. And that's the negative type of news that it's good to scare out these new investors and stuff, but we can't have like, and it's good that it's still kind of insulated. It's only 105 billion market cap, so we're insulated. We're not exposing our undies to the entire world just yet. But like if that happens next year, when we're at, 500-700 billion, that's a much bigger problem. So hopefully these scaling issues get worked out before January, and we see just a continued movement. I mean, if you're not in, get in, get a hard wallet, start investing. Just a quick reminder, this is not investing advice. This is not financial advice. This is not any kind of advice for you to do anything or take any actions or do anything. This is educational, and this is entertainment, and this is meant to, it's educational. It's meant to, there's something new that's happening in the world and you should know about it. But this is not investing advice. Your investing decisions and what you do with your money, those are your decisions and yours alone, as well as the consequences of that. Okay, I'm gonna end today's show with an interesting little tidbit that I heard from Vitalik Buterin watching through the Ethereum project videos on YouTube. And cryptocurrency and what we're essentially doing here, which is holding a ledger, this is not the first time this has been done like this, where you're not actually holding your physical currency. So I forget which island it is, but there are these people, and there's these things called Rai stones. Rai, Rai stones. And they were so big and so heavy that you couldn't move them. But people would still switch ownership back and forth. And so say you had tribe A that has a bunch of cows and tribe B that is hungry, when tribe B, has ownership over a bunch of these Rai stones, well, they just say to the community, "Hey, we're like tribe A now owns these stones, and they're bringing the cows over." And then the community just remembers, "Oh yeah, tribe A owns these stones now." And like it's essentially exactly what crypto is, except crypto has so much more security and you don't need to actually trust the network. So anyway, just a little tidbit, a little interesting history fact. Hopefully you're gonna enjoy your Brexit 1776 this weekend and into next week. Take care, and I will see you. I might do something tomorrow, but more likely I'll do something Monday. Later.